Welcome, welcome. It is such a pleasure to have you here. I welcome you to this special interview series on meditation and compassion. Today we are joined by a very special guest, all the way from the Washington, D.C. metro area, and it is the beautiful Sister Jenna. Sister Jenna is a spiritual leader, author, radio and TV personality, a renowned speaker, and founder of the Meditation Museum in Maryland and Virginia. She is the host of the globally broadcast America Meditating Radio Show. She was selected by Empower a Billion Women 2020 as one of the 100 most influential leaders of 2015 and served as a principal partner with the Oprah Winfrey Network and Values Partnership on the Oprah Winfrey Belief Team, a community of individuals from diverse spiritual, cultural, and faith backgrounds, which is how we met. Her wisdom, peace, and compassion for humanity are expressed through the variety of initiatives that she spearheads for youth, women, governments, and communities. Sister Jenna's mission is to decode critical current issues and offer a perspective for folks to find clarity, power, and insight. Despite the many life challenges that we face on a global scale, Sister Jenna has an uncanny ability to connect us back to where our problems originated and shift our awareness towards the solutions. Sister Jenna's voice of influence is particularly needed in the wake of tragedy and increasing violence in our world. So it is wonderful once again to have you here, Sister Jenna. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us.
It's always good to be with you, and I think that the work that you're doing and the work that I call it, we're light workers, that the more that we collectively come together, this light will keep expanding, and it's definitely going to change what we're witnessing in the world today. So,
yes. Well, let's talk about what we are witnessing in the world today. I've told you, and you've seen what I've been doing online with the 21-day compassion meditation series. It's been so touching for me to hear from people who've never done a meditation practice that they're just repeating these phrases, may I be well, may I be free from suffering, and then extending those wishes. One of the most interesting things that came back was a woman in Iceland said that she was in a psychiatric hospital and there were some really difficult people. And she said by doing this meditation, she was able to feel so much compassion to this one particular woman who was always like sort of mean, that she suddenly felt even a fondness for her. And she noticed that the woman started to change. Now, it's not that she spoke these words to the woman, she did it in private. And I've heard you say before that when we work on our own energy, what we put out into the world can have an effect. So as we're seeing violence and terrorist activity all over the place, what would you say to us to keep us on track?
I could say a lot, actually. I think one of the most important things for us to stay on track is to be very, very present. And to be aware of what you're feeling, what you're going through, but also to make the right choices, especially during a very violent time in our country. You don't have to watch everything that they're showing you on television to right. have you or to make you convinced that this is a rough time. Okay, so be very conscientious of what you choose to receive through your eyes, through your ears, and the things that you say. So I recommend that. Wholeheartedly. I haven't watched any of the video footage of the shootings that's been happening in America. I don't need to. I need to be of service to myself and of service to my brothers and sisters. So whenever we want to make an impact in the world, we can't fill ourselves with negative images and negative sounds. So I recommend that to everyone. Be very conscientious in what you choose to listen to watch, and to be very present. Third thing, check your feelings. And in doing that, you'll be able then to make the next step, which is a decision that you want to perhaps feel a lot more natural and purer in your intentions. So that lady was like not listening to the outside sounds of what was happening in that psychiatric hospital. She turned in to listen to what her real inner being was saying to her.
Mm-hmm. And so as we make that step, as we decide to tap into that feeling of love and reminding ourselves that at our core we are pure love, what do we do as the anger comes up? Because that's what I'm seeing, and I'm not watching. Like you just said, I am not watching the news. I'm not even opening up the CNN news feed on the computer to see what's going on there in America, because it's heartbreaking for one. But I see so much anger, and that's what makes me nervous, because people want revenge. They retaliate.
This morning, I conduct a morning class every day at 6 o'clock at my Brahma Kumari Meditation Museum. And it's funny that you're mentioning anger, because today we call Baba here, we call God here Baba. Baba was saying that the root cause to anger is selfishness and jealousy.
Mm.
So regardless of what's going on outside of us, I still have a choice as to how I choose to respond or react to the situation. So if I am struggling with jealousy and selfishness,
mm-hmm.
if I witness that in the act of another fellow brother or sister on the planet, that's only emoting the work that I've got to do in myself. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Right. So when I'm getting angry, my anger, it first must be directed as to why am I allowing this anger to emerge within my being? Have I been living a life that's been very self-serving? And do I not wish others to benefit or to rise? You know, there might be jealousy. So addressing that issue is, to me, imperative. And then secondly, when I do see injustice or abuse done on anyone, I'm aware that it's not being done on others, it's being done on all of us.
Yeah.
Because we're all in this together, because we come from the one Father. So I just want to address that, the anger, to check what's your quota of selfishness and jealousy, because that needs to be fixed within the self.
Yeah. And that's part of my spiritual practice, is when I feel myself getting judgmental, it's usually judgmental, like so-and-so shouldn't do that, I stop myself and I say, where in my life have I done that? Even if it's not to the same level. And it allows me to kind of come back within, feel the compassion for myself, feel the compassion for this other person. Because you mentioned this before when we were talking, that the people who are perpetrating violence against others or retaliating, they are hurting. That is a symptom of their own pain, right?
Which nobody addresses. I was at the White House this week, and they are asking leaders to come together to see what we can do. It's a scary time in America, by the way, everyone, and we need your blessings. And what's happening was that we are not looking at the soul issue, S-O-U-L. And that's where the cure needs to begin. And so everyone's on this outside projection of a solution, and we're still in the same situation that we were before. So I believe that if we are able to really go inside and understand that we're souls and that the soul has to be cured, I don't see how we're going to make any sort of a difference, because it's the time for that.
Yeah.
This negative stuff, Andrea, and everyone that we're seeing, it's birthing something golden aged, because something that's very delusional is exiting the story. Ego, anger, lust, greed, attachment. It's leaving the story. And because it's leaving it, it's reacting and it's fighting and it's kicking. So when I see those scenes of anything negative, Andrea, I just look at it like it's trauma. It is preordained. It's nothing new.
Mm.
And the question is, what's my part here in the story? What is my part here? My part is to be like God's child. So I'm getting an opportunity to amplify my worthiness and my goodness as a person.
Mm-hmm. So what happened at the White House then? What was the outcome? Were there people there who were willing to hear this concept of the soul needing to be healed?
It's a big job. There are 18,000 agencies, and each agency grapples with trying to find its solutions. And something that one of the senior advisors shared, we can't change hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Imagine, we can't change hearts and minds. We can only try to put up policies or rules or guidelines and stuff to sort of curtail what's going on. But they're relying on us, those of us outside of these structures of powers that be, to be the people's movement, to be the voices, to be the initiators of change. What I've been tweeting lately is to be the diffusers of this rage and anger. And so how? So they've left it up to us to really be more active in our communities. And the Brahma Kumaris has centers in 29 states in America, but also 9,000 branches in 120 countries. So the question is, how do we keep participating in diffusing this fear that's everywhere in our world? And to me, I think it's through a spiritual practice. And the one that I do is called Raja Yoga Meditation. So that helps us to be more accountable to the angst that we're walking with. And if I can cure my angst, Andrea, if you're getting upset with me and I'm in a good place, I will understand that you are hurting. So I won't take your pain personal. I'm not here to heal the world, but I'm a part of the healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big quote for me of late.
Yes, I saw that and shared it on Twitter. I am part of the healing, and I love that. So can you just explain, since we've been introducing various types of meditation to our tribe here, explain to us, what is the difference with Raja Yoga that you and the Brahma Kumaris practice?
Okay. Raja Yoga meditation is more focused on your thoughts and your quality of thoughts and the power of your intellect. It's not a physical form of yoga, but it's a yoga that turns your attention inwards to the soul inside and then invites the soul to raise its level of consciousness to connect to God, the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the father and the mother of all souls on the planet, all souls of the world. And after you've forged that experience, you've reclaimed that experience, you've awakened that notion of how it feels to be loved by God and to love God, then you are so compelled to perform good actions, what we call good karma. And the more good karma you perform, you start to delete, absolve, and erase the negative karmas that are sitting in the soul from your past. That's the difference of Raja Yoga meditation. It's very disciplined. It's every day. It's consistent. Every hour in the hour, we pause for 60 seconds of silence. Every day at 6 o'clock, we have a morning class that's the same class in 120 countries with 9,000 branches, the same class, because we believe that if everyone collectively has the same quality of thoughts, there's a shift happening in the atmosphere.
Yes.
No spiritual organization will have all directors agree to do the same class on the same day. So then there are a myriad of other meditations out there, and I can't speak to all of them. However, I can share that what's held me as a person who owned 2 nightclubs, believed in my Mercedes, Jaguar, at least parked up in my parking lot and my beautiful condo overlooking the Atlantic, is that this spoke to me at a level that it was bigger than the world of materialism that had become too normal for me to use my consciousness just to be used like that all the time. So it's very disciplined, but I love discipline. Mm-hmm. When you're disciplined, you're free.
Yes, I've definitely felt that and experienced that as well. Now, are you reciting any mantras, or is it just observing the mind, turning inward, and gaining that insight?
We have a morning class called the Murli every day. And so the Murli is like directions or teachings from Baba. So Baba kind of percolates the deeper level of your intention. So the Murli is really to check your intention, to till your intention. Mm-hmm. So that's known for our day. So there are no mantras, because you don't need a mantra really. You need real life experiences, you need tools. I need to know how to deal with you if things aren't going right. And I can't go start chanting a mantra, 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 and you're looking at me. You want to respond for me. Come on. Already. So it's knowledge. It's about awareness of the self. It's feeling you. It's listening to what's going on inside, even just for a minute, if we take a second of silence.
Mm-hmm. Is that second of, is that 60 seconds taken at the top of the hour, or is it, does it matter?
Every hour on the hour, we just pause. I'll be in a meeting somewhere, and I'll be sitting, because we do open-eyed meditation here. Mm-hmm. In a meeting, let's say I'm with you, and it's 9 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, hi. But I've allowed my awareness to raise,
yes.
And I go, and then I let Baba do his thing, and then I go, well, here's the final data that I have for you. So I'm still in that conscious place. So that's just a given. So yeah. You can do this even with your eyes open. You don't have to close your eyes to meditate.
Awesome. Yeah. Very, very insightful. I'm going to start doing that. I already do a meditation practice on a regular basis, but I'm going to start doing it on the hour, every hour. I know it's...
Control. It's called traffic control. So every hour and an hour, you check the racing of your mind.
Yeah. So the other question I have for you is, with the Meditation Museum, which I was fortunate enough to visit when we wrapped up that the TV viewing of the Oprah Winfrey thing. And again, thank you for being the spiritual guidance for bringing such an important series to the world. What is the function or the goal of the Meditation Museum?
Maybe like what you're doing online on this, to invite everyone to come into a space so that they can understand themselves a lot better and at a higher level, because the world doesn't offer this. The world doesn't offer you how to be you. It doesn't offer you to expand your beauty and your grandness. It doesn't do that. So when you can create platforms for people to just think purer, think with more optimism, be more determined than desperate, you know, be more loving than fearful. It's easy to love someone that you like. It's easy to love someone who cooperates with you. It is, but is it easy for you to love someone who doesn't? So when you come into a platform like your compassion program for 21 days, or you come into the Meditation Museum, the artifacts, the artwork, the videos, the silence makes you realize that at the end of the day, I have to do this for me.
Yeah.
Control or change anyone. So my intention and love for the Meditation Museum is that it expands. We have two now. It's so beautiful. The space is so beautiful.
Yes, yes.
And it's so inclusive, right?
Yes. Well, you saw what happened when I came to visit with my good friend Georgia. It's like you literally step into this space and you're transformed. I mean, the whole energy transforms. As you remember, I'm not telling secrets, but Georgia started welling up with tears when she saw your mom. I mean, there's this soul connection. It's this recognition of being soul family that was just so profound.
Yeah. And that's the energy that I know a lot of the Brahmakumari centers offer when you go to them. Ours is the only one of its kind in the whole organization, because I tend to believe more in this inclusivity. I'm a very inclusive person. And I think that everyone has to do their work on themselves. That's really not my business.
Yeah.
So what I want to zone in with you is, what's good about you? What's working? How do we create cooperative partnership here? How do we expand the story? That's what I want to see in you. Your dirt is not my business. I've got my own. And I think having that mentality is what's really created that atmosphere at the museums. And every one of my staff, Andrea, it's a law that you cannot dislike anyone in the team. It's a law, or else you can't stay here. I know that sounds harsh, but it's a law.
Okay.
That dislike creates such a negative vibration in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And that's subtle, but that's the source of your obstacles at the workplace. So if any team members are not getting along, I'll sit with them and ask, what's going on? What do you want from her? What do you want from him? What can we do to find some common ground? So I will mediate that between each other. And then, of course, it's with me, then they're in trouble. So I don't know what to do. But part of the story is that that's a very important thing. And the second thing is I don't tolerate gossiping in the atmosphere. I go, you can do a whole lot more with your thoughts and words than to be talking about what's not right with somebody. So those are some main tenets that we have in our space that I go, we don't tolerate that. There's no tolerance for that here. Hmm. And that's why we can do 200 events a year.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing. I came away with just such awe and respect once I realized how much you're doing, plus with America Meditating Radio and your most recent initiative, speaking of not gossiping and not talking negative, let's get into Meditate the Vote. Yes. Because right now where I am in France, you know, all of my friends are saying, what's up with this Trump? And it starts people going down a very negative conversation. I don't engage. And fortunately, you have created a program, a movement to really help raise this level of consciousness as we go into this November voting season. So tell us about Meditate the Vote.
Thank you for asking. It's really a beautiful project. The America Meditating Radio initiated it on May 1st because in America, the month of May is National Meditation Month. So I thought, let's do this. But Andrea, I was in India in February on the mountaintop with a bunch of yogis from 100 countries. The first question they asked me wasn't, Om Shanti, hi, Sister Jenna, how are you? The first question is Trump going to be the president of the United States? I went, what is that? How are you too? And that's what started to tweak my interest. I was like, wow, there's something big going on here. There's something huge. And so I wrote about that. And then I decided to see what can we do, because this seems to be a very unique time. So I decided to come up with Meditate the Vote with a group of friends. And it's about raising your level of consciousness through engaging in life questions that are very important. One of them is, are you powerful enough to initiate change? And can you sustain your change? I was at the White House and I mentioned, I asked a very top lawyer and I gave her the Keep Calm, Meditate the Vote card. And I said, are you powerful enough to initiate change? She said, oh, yes. And then I said, do you have the power to sustain it? She went,
Yeah.
I said, that's Meditate the Vote. It takes you a little bit deeper. It lets you think at a much more sincere and intentional level so that the change is not only permanent, but it's important and beneficial for all.
Right. And it's not reactionary. We have to go deeper. These questions allow us to go deeper.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have done about maybe 8 events already since May. And we've done a lot of conversations in the media. And we invite people to have Meditate the Vote teas or dinners and just use the questions that are online. They can go to meditatethevote.com, and then there are the 4 core questions and a kit that they could use to download, take pictures of Keep Calm, Meditate the Vote posters, post it online, share it with our Meditate the Vote Facebook and Twitter, or send us a video. I, Andrea Pennington, Meditate the Vote in France because I want a better world. So whatever it is.
Yeah.
Post that and you hashtag Meditate the Vote. And we don't know where it's going to take us, Andrea, but I have to tell you, I've met so many people who have told me, Sister Jenna, thank you for starting this because my anger has been diffused.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. And that's what I feel. I feel like it's really taking us deeper because it's easy to be reactionary and to get all riled up. But when I just love that second question. Can you sustain it? Right. Because it really calls us to say, okay, I can't just be a rabble rouser. It's like, I need to step up and do my part.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what makes this initiative so powerful. We had Nikki Giovanni about a month ago. And Nikki just took on to Meditate the Vote. And she was like, yeah. And then she decided to tell us who you're from, who she was going to vote for. And I said, Nikki, you can do that, but meditate the vote's not taking sides. Choosing the political party. This is choosing the well-being of souls. In this country, despite who goes into office, you're going to have to get your life in check. You know, you want better health care? Take care of your health. You want more money? Work another job, get higher education.
Yep.
So it's been on the table for decades. I mean, politicians have been promising us things forever.
Yeah.
Nothing's cured.
Right. We have to be the change.
Yeah. Exactly, my sister. We are the change. Yeah, I remember a story about a mosquito. And this little mosquito had this baby mosquito. And he's like telling his son, you're not going to go out there in the world. It's brutal. Little baby mosquito says, no, Dad, I have to go. She said, no, all of your brothers and sisters are dead because those people out there are awful. So he kept bugging his father, I need to go and find out the world. So finally, his father says, okay, go. He bids him goodbye, hugs this little baby mosquito. He flies off into the harsh, wicked world, right? He knows he's never going to see his son back. 2 weeks later, little baby mosquito flaps his wings and comes back. And he looks at his dad and he goes, oh my gosh. And the father's like, shocked. Are you okay? Did they hurt you? What happened? He goes, Dad, the world is like awesome. And he goes, what do you mean they're awesome? They're vicious. They're awful people. He went, no, Dad. Everywhere I went, they kept clapping for me. Why I'm telling you all this story is if you don't change your interpretation or you just the way that you look at the world, we're going to be eaten up alive. So you've got to be that little baby mosquito. And no matter what anyone's doing to you out there, you've got to take it as an opportunity to be better. And that's what this time is calling us to do. Mosquitoes?
Yeah, I'll keep clapping for them. You know, I think one last thing I'll say is, or I'll ask you about is, you mentioned before that with all the violence that's going on, not just in America, you said something to me. You said, this is an opportunity for us to love more. It is a challenge to see if we can love more. Explain to me what you meant by that.
What did they say? I mean, here I am in a very charged environment of emotional people in our people's house. And people are telling leaders that police officers need to be accountable and that they should get back what they're giving out. And please know that I respect all religions. My mother's a Roman Catholic, everyone. My father's a Hindu. I have no biases. Please know this. I remember Jesus saying, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we are being called to be God's children. And so despite what those police officers or suicide bomber or a husband who's not faithful or a wife who's just so discontented with her life, regardless of how they're feeling and what they're going through, to be godly is to be loving. And to understand that my fellow brother or sister is in pain. This violence has been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? It's been thousands of years. And so there's something that we're missing in terms of the solution. And it is a soul solution. And it is going back to silence. It is feeling God's love. And it is challenging us to be truthful. Am I really who I'm supposed to be? Has to be loving. Gay rights, women's rights, equality rights, everything's surfacing. Why? Because they've been suppressed by a publicity campaign that says if you're gay, you're not good enough. If you're a woman, you're not good enough. If you're black, you're not good enough. And that marketing gig is up.
Yep.
And so now everyone is beginning to see transgender, black, white, gay, straight, rich, poor, I don't care how light or dark your skin is. Everything is surfacing for all of us to say, are you love? Are you love?
Because if you're love, you come from God and you are God's child. And so that's the time that's calling us to do this. And if I don't have a loving, I don't have a loving being, that lack of love in my being will be my own self-destruction.
Hmm.
So we're being called to love more.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's, yeah, that's some good stuff right there. Well, you know what I would love? I'm going to put you on the spot, just like I did at the screening of the Belief series. Oh, that was priceless. I wish I had video to show everyone when I called on Sister Jenna to lead us in meditation. You had this look of surprise on your face.
Because I've been wanting to take a back seat. Actually, I've been telling everyone I'm doing less, you know. I want to hold up people and things that I think they're better for the front. They're better for that. That's what they're supposed to do. I'm becoming like a granny. I know I look good.
You are not a granny, honey.
I just feel stronger being in the back, holding these beautiful, younger, energetic images and voices of truth. And leading them forward, you know. So I'm just doing less of these. That's all I'm saying. And even at the Belief thing, I was just supporting from the back, and I felt very strong wanting to do that. You know. So you want a meditation?
Yes, please, if you don't mind. That would be a lovely way to end this interview. If you would just lead us in a short meditation.
Yeah. So firstly, just be aware that behind your eyes, all of your stories exist. Breathe in deeply. Inhale and exhale. And just for a little while, I'd like to invite you to imagining that you're not attached to your name, your gender, your role, your titles, or your religion. What if you were to remove your attachments to those labels? How would you feel? The energy of God's love and God's light would emerge through you. So in this moment of reflection and silence, we're being called to experience God's love, God's light, and God's purity. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. It's so important.
Thank you for making the time and the space to share with us. It's time. So I'm excited to connect people with you and with Meditation Museum in Maryland and in Virginia, and meditatethevote.com, and of course your wonderful blog on Huffington Post, which I love. I love when you post your updates there, because they're always juicy. So I thank you. I just want to thank you again from my heart for all that you're doing, and that you are truly holding that space for us to be more conscious and to be present and to be more authentically ourselves. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Learn more and join the movement. visit meditatethevote.com. To learn more about the Meditation Museum, Sister Jenna, and her radio show, America Meditating, visit meditationmuseum.org. Sign up for the free 21-day Compassion Meditation Challenge. You will receive free access to download guided audio meditations, a 74-page ebook, and inspiring images with quotes. Visit attunementmeditation.com/compassion. May you be truly well in mind, body, and heart. May you be happy and live with ease.